It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined always, nearly always, by Gemma Kaneko. How are you, Gemma?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. I'm very tired.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Do you want to take a nap? Do you want to go take a nap right now?
You know, I don't need to be patronized, but thank you. We also have Ian K with us.
Wide awake. I'm wide awake, guys.
Yeah, I can tell by your reaction time there when I pointed at you. You're also wide awake. Claire, we're what, a week and a half into the season about... And we're all completely exhausted.
Yeah.
So
it's already too much.
I don't know how the actual players do. We're writing about what the players do, and we're this tired. I don't know how the actual players are able to do it.
The blog and grind, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's true. Rise and grind, as we learn every morning on Twitter. Guys, here's a question. In the past, we've done the pop quiz at this time. We've also done meal or no meal at
fun.
This time.
Huh.
That was really
that
fun.
Game.
I have a really simple question for you. Right now, at this moment, who is the best player in baseball? I'll give you a second to think about that, because it's a hard question. I'll let you come up with your own criteria for why or who or whatever. I did prep an answer because I'm evil, and I didn't tell you what the question would be. So if you want, I can tell you who my answer is.
Yeah, tell us.
Why don't you tell us?
I think it's Noah Syndergaard, who through two starts has been fantastic. He has 21 strikeouts, which is completely
that's
absurd.
Pretty crazy.
He's only allowed one run. So, I mean, that's unreal, unfathomably good. But there are some other options. Obviously, if you want to go for, like, length and who's, like, Mike Trout obviously is an okay answer, all those kinds of things. But I don't know. Gemma, who do you think?
I'm going to go with Carlos Correa right now.
Why?
Because I didn't really think about this that much. And when what popped out immediately to me, that was just who I thought, you know? Like, I could have gone through other options, but I decided to go with my gut on this and say, like, why do I feel that? It's really exciting right now. It's the first week you can say things like you're the best in baseball because you're just, you know, hitting a lot, getting on base a lot, doing flashy things that are fun for people to watch.
Yeah. And at a very valuable position.
Too. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right, Ian.
I was all lined up with that Noah Syndergaard answer.
Yeah, and then I ripped it cruelly from your heart.
Dakota pre-planned that.
I did. Sorry.
That's what we get for making him go first.
Yeah.
Is Trevor Story still happening?
Yeah, that's still
happening.
Okay, we'll go with Trevor Story.
He's still
right
happening.
Now, he's the best player in baseball. I don't think he'll be the best player in baseball by next week.
Right.
But he earned his 1 week of having that honor.
What about Tyler White?
Also up there.
Player of the week.
Yeah, he could be player of the week.
Yeah.
So, did he win our poll for player of the week?
No, he won just the award for player of the
week.
Oh, the
actual
award? Yeah.
Who cares about the real award when there's
us.
A cut for poll?
I actually do think Carlos Correa won that, which is why I probably said that.
Yeah, well, those are all
results.
Good options.
Yeah.
I think those are all good players. Interestingly, Bryce Harper did not appear on any of our lists.
He's pretty good, though.
He's pretty good.
He's all right. He's okay.
He's on the pretty good player in baseball. That's Bryce Harper's official title. All right, but let's dive right in to the Cracker Jacks and
deep fried potatoes
of the podcast.
What?
I don't know.
Deep fried, but just fries? What?
Yeah,
deep fried potatoes?
People eat fries
at
ballparks.
What do you think this is?
I don't know.
Sunflower seeds and double bubble.
Sunflower seeds. Let's dive into the sunflower seeds and double bubble of the podcast. Our first topic here is actually super topical. Today, MLB, we're recording this on a Wednesday. Today, MLB announced that they have special custom jerseys coming out for the first time for Father's Day and Mother's Day. They're really cool. If you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see photo galleries of all of the Mother's and Father's Day jerseys that will be worn by the teams this season. You can also see the Memorial Day jerseys and the July 4th jerseys. Those are traditionally done every year. You can also see the All-Star Game Home Run Derby jerseys and caps. That's pretty cool. But that got us wondering, MLB starting to branch out on creating custom jerseys for holidays. What, as of yet, unacknowledged MLB holiday do you think should have a uniform design for it? Ian, why don't you start?
Well, I think this may be a little bit obvious, but I think it should be Halloween.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not always baseball being played on Halloween, but in the last few years there has been frequently. It does happen to fall right in the middle of the World Series. So I can understand that custom uniforms may not be the number one priority. But in the interest of fun, I think they should be.
Yeah.
It might only be two teams every year, but I think those teams should be required to come up with some kind of a Halloween costume. And I think it should have to be a group costume that incorporates every single player on the roster.
This is great.
So, like, you know, when, you know, you and your friends inevitably went as the Anchorman cast 15 times.
Did we?
Well, I've never done that. I've never done that.
I've never done it either, but I've seen a lot of people do it. I've seen a lot of people. The challenge would be that, like, you can't just be Ron Burgundy and the news crew. You have to find 25 different characters in that movie and have all of them. So every player would have some kind of a custom uniform that would represent, you know, whatever it is.
I see.
So, you know, it could be simpler. It could just be, like, the animal kingdom, and you have 25 different animals. But more creativity, the better.
This is
you
really
put a lot of thought into that.
I got really excited when I thought of it.
I really like this idea.
It could be really super fun.
Yeah.
Well, and what's cool, too, is because it's during the World Series, that becomes a World Series narrative. And then if, like, one player doesn't really play along or has, like, a bad costume, then it's like, uh-oh, is there stress going on in the clubhouse? Or is there tension? That would be really fun. And then, like, if somebody hit, like, two home runs or, like, a clutch walk-off home run, maybe they would try to wear the costume again in the next game because baseball players are so superstitious.
Yeah. Also, it could be kind of a competition between the two teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there could be controversy when a player, like, can't make a play because they're wearing a ghost costume.
He tripped over it. Let's all just be sheet ghosts this year. Here's the question, though. Does this unfairly give Joe Maddon and the Cubs an advantage, considering he has such experience in costumes?
It might. That is a possibility. But, you know, I could see it coming back to haunt them also, you know.
Is that a ghost joke?
That's terrible. You've been banned from the podcast, Gemma.
I'm not going to
I didn't say it.
I'm not. What's your holiday, Gemma?
Good deflection. That was really good.
Well?
Well, okay. So I was thinking summer holidays because I wanted it to be something that every team can participate in, but there's really not a lot of summer holidays. Yeah. We already have special uniforms for Independence Day, etc. So I was thinking about what else was, you know, happening while baseball is being played. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought of was my birthday. Mine and Matt Shoemaker's birthday. So could be Matt Shoemaker and Gemma Day, obviously. We're birthday twins. But that's crazy. However, it would be hilarious if there were special uniforms just
with
celebrating.
With your face on it?
Everybody would wear number 27 because that's my birthday, September 27th. And you could call it Mike Trout Day if you wanted to, Jose Altuve Day, whatever. I would know it was about me. But that's not what's happening.
Okay.
My ultimate holiday I went for is there's Mother's Day and Father's Day already, but in Japan there's Children's Day.
Okay.
So that happens in May. So I thought we could do a special uniform for that, and what that would be is the teams could all have contests and have the kids draw a custom uniform, and whatever that is, they make it into a real uniform.
Ooh, I like that.
I think it would be cute. It would provide a lot of content for us. You know?
That's a good
point. Yeah, it would be fun and adorable.
You could find out who, like, the one weird kid is.
He draws nightmare uniforms. Yep. Yeah. And then use those again for Halloween.
I feel like they should have to be oversized so that the players look like little kids when they're running out playing baseball for a living.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
I'm a favorite. When is this holiday?
It's in May, the first week of May, I think.
First week of May? Okay. Yeah. Children's Day. How do people actually celebrate Children's Day?
What do you really do? I have no idea what you actually do. I just know it exists.
Because, like, for Mother's Day and Father's Day, you buy your parents a gift.
But you always get kids.
But
always
kids always. There's, like, a million holidays where kids get
there's
gifts.
Probably,
and
like,
need another.
There's probably, like, a special, like, you probably just get, like, a special kind of treat, you know?
Like, food like ice related. Cream or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then why isn't there, like, 20-somethings day where 20-somethings can get ice cream?
Well, we're all still children, all of us, so.
Yeah, okay.
What you really have to do is work for the day when you have your own income and can just buy ice cream on every day.
You're right. That's the dream.
It is
every day. Make money. That's
What's your holiday?
So, as always, I went through many options before settling on what I wanted. You'll like the one that I ultimately settled on.
My birthday.
The first one I thought of was Flag Day, which is June 14th. I thought players could wear, like, ostentatiously aggressive American flag jerseys. Except, obviously, the Blue Jays, who would wear an ostentatiously aggressive Canadian flag jersey. I think that could be really fun. But then, the more I thought about it, I was like, that would get extremely confusing because everyone would be wearing the same thing, and it would be hard to tell the team apart, which isn't necessarily a huge deal in baseball, but it's still maybe not the most pleasing. So I said, all right, not that. Then I thought, well, what about Earth Day? That's April 22nd. We could do, like, it could be all, like, natural clothes. Like, the jerseys are made out
woven.
Of, like
hemp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially hemp or, like, I don't know.
Would they have to, no, like, polyester. Find it? Like freegans? Like, you would go looking yeah. for it outside?
Yeah, they have to mill their own. Yeah. No, but, or, like, and then it could be, like, a picture of the Earth could be on it, or they could be, like, blue and green.
But they'd have to make their own Earth jerseys.
Yeah, it's complicated. I mean, tie-dye. You can't play
so
on Earth
saying,
Day.
So we would just get a bunch of, like, natural tie-dye uniforms.
Potentially. But then all of these questions were obviously silly.
Just wouldn't trim the grass that day.
Yeah, just let it grow out. But so, like, obviously that's silly. So I thought we needed something more serious. And I said,
I truly believe what you're going to say is going to be totally serious.
This is very serious. And it's kind of great minds think alike because you went to your birthday. My birthday is April 26th. And I was like, that would be fun. But then what I realized is it should be every player's birthday should be a special uniform day. Meaning that when it's your birthday and you're a major league player, you get to design your own uniform that you then wear that day. And it's sold in the stadium that day. And if it's anyone whose birthday it is can wear their custom jersey and, you know, cleats and a custom bat, whatever they want, on the field that day. And then on one special day, like, I don't know, April 4 or whatever, that's the all the players who have off-season birthdays. They get to do their birthday day that day. Where
so yet again, like in school, when your birthday wasn't during the school year.
Exactly.
Yes.
Isn't that a great idea?
That is a good idea.
I like that.
Right?
I
Isn't
do.
That cool? The yeah. other way to do it would be to have one standard birthday jersey that every player who it's their birthday wears, and it's just like the birthday boy.
on it.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love that.
Yeah.
Play. I'm sure grown men would love to wear that. All right. That was just a truly engaging topic. Let's move on to our next engaging topic. Gemma, mm-hmm. you recently interviewed Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. You were talking about his new book, The Arm.
Yes.
Did you like it?
I loved it. It was really great. Yeah. So it's about, he wants to know what is causing arm injuries in baseball, because obviously we've seen a lot of great pitchers go down over the past couple of years and get Tommy Johns, and that rate has been rising. So he wanted to know what that was about and tried to solve it. And it's kind of like a mystery novel, but not a novel at all. It's totally, it's all real. It's all real. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so he wants to know, like, what's causing these arm injuries,
yeah.
right? And it's, I assume he doesn't uncover the answer because he's not a billionaire, right?
I mean, because there are also so many different factors of what's going on. So there's a lot of theories. A lot of people have different ideas. He talks to an evolutionary biologist/anthropologist about it, even. Okay. And goes all the way back to why, you know, what is even up with the human shoulder and how it can bend that way in the first place. It's really interesting.
What is up with the human
there's
shoulder?
There's like a spear
What's
throwing
the deal
thing?
With shoulders?
Yes, it's like
is that.
That
in the book?
It's just
like
that.
90s stand-up comedy?
Yes, it's only 90s stand-up comedy.
Okay.
The whole epilogue is just about how much women love shopping. That's the whole thing.
Good. I look forward to reading it. Gemma, let me pose the question to you then. There are many unsolved mysteries of baseball, of the world. What would you like, if you could just magically find out the truth behind some baseball mystery, what would you want to learn? Other than the arm injury thing.
Yeah, which is a very engaging question. Yeah. Definitely want to know. And there are all kinds of cool solutions that people are trying to work out, but haven't totally been worked out yet. So I would like to know how to fix the yips.
Okay.
Because I think there are a lot of different theories about what caused them, how you get the yips. And there was a Radiolab episode about it as well. And there are a lot of different theories, but I think that if you knew how to just automatically fix it, that would then I would also know.
How do you define the yips specifically?
Being, I think being really good at something over a period of time, and then all of a sudden completely losing the ability to do that thing in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you like? Is that so? Are you saying like? Making an error, or are you saying like
I think
the
maybe
difference,
like
John Lester not being able to throw
ever
first.
No, John Lester never being able to throw to first and never being able to do that. But I think it has to be more like I'm also trying to extrapolate and think of longer cases, you know, when someone's at the peak of being able to do something, and then maybe like two or three games or years later, they're just completely like lose the ability.
Well, I'll give you an example for that. I, as I've said many times, grew up a Red Sox fan. They had Daniel Bard was their relief pitcher in the late 2000s, and they converted him to a start. He was like the heir apparent as the closer of the future. He threw really hard. They were like, hey, let's try him out at starter. And they tried him out as a starter. That didn't work. And that was like the end of his career. Yeah. He's now in the minors. And I think he's in the Cubs organization now, actually. But he never found out again like what the deal was. And he's never discovered that form again. So I think maybe there's something to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it also, it has a lot, it connects a lot to, people say it's overthinking a lot that causes the yips, you know, especially, you're thinking about John Lester throwing to first, you know, he can never do it, it never works out.
Right.
So then you start to self-reinforce about how it will never work out. But I wonder if there's a way to fix that. And not
if
without
you find out,
without
you'll be a billionaire.
I know, but I will never know. So that's my mystery.
So you're not.
Yeah.
Ian, what mystery would you like to solve?
Well, I kind of thought about this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
More of a series of mysteries. And, like, I would just, like, reveal all of the crazy trades that never happened.
Oh,
that's really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, I think there should be a thing where, like, you know, it's 10 years later that, like, on one day or something, all the GMs just have to reveal, like, that they had this conversation about that player and, like, you know, the Yankees almost traded Derek Jeter or something, like, when he was a young player. I think it'd be awesome to know those kind of things and be just a whole rabbit hole of, like, what ifs. And maybe they could tell us, like, how close it actually came to happening or, you know, whether it's just, like, a informal discussion or whether real trade negotiations around any given player, because I'm sure almost any player that became iconic with a team at some point almost ended up on a different team.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I think that is really interesting. I also just want to know, because there's a part in Jeff Passan's book, actually, where he follows Theo Epstein basically for the entirety of the discussion about the John Lester deal. Mm-hmm. And it just seems that GMs get up to the weirdest things. It's always going to people's houses for Thanksgiving or drinking a bunch in a suite or just doing something totally weird when these deals are going down. So I want to know those aspects, too.
Yeah, I feel like it could be like a freedom of information kind of thing.
I think that
should be how it works.
Yeah, baseball accounts. It's interesting, too, because I think that it almost would, like, help GMs in the long run, because I think, like, if you learn that, like, let's say the Yankees were going to trade Derek Jeter. We are not saying that. But let's say that that was, like, a thing that came out in our Freedom of Information Act. It would almost make, like, it seem the bad trades that actually went through seem less bad if you learned that there were more of them and they happen more often.
Right.
And like if that hypothetical Derek Jeter deal fell apart the last second because, like, oh, well, you know, he was sick that day and couldn't make it to the doctor for the appointment or whatever. Like, stuff like that, like, I imagine that happens a lot where deals like that fall apart. And I think it would provide some sort of plausible deniability to a lot of GMs who maybe made some mistakes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I honestly thought a lot about this, and the first thing I wrote literally was hats. Like, what? It's the only sport where you wear a hat. Like, other sports you wear helmets, other sports you don't wear anything, maybe a headband. Why, like, a hat? And just, it's like a nice hat. It's not even like an athletic thing. It's like a hat that you just wear. That's weird.
Okay, I realized.
Do you know
that
the story behind this?
No, but we did speak last time about how you were told you could not wear a baseball cap into a steakhouse. So I assume that's why you're now calling a baseball cap a nice hat.
Okay.
Because you want to get back at this woman who told you you couldn't wear a hat into a steakhouse.
It's clearly. It's. I'm not saying it's like a fat. Like, I'm not. I am still mad about that. But my point is that, like, it's made nicely. It's not like a jersey. It's not, it doesn't feel athletic. It feels like an article of clothing that, like, is a fashionable thing that you're wearing for fashion or in some cases utility to keep the sun out of your eyes. But, like, how did that become a part of the uniform?
Well, I feel like you just partially answered the question. It probably has something to do with the utility of the bill.
That's
the
true.
Cap, you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
I get, and then just tradition and it being baseball and traditions. But it's weird, right? They wear hats. That's just a mystery.
Solve that one.
All right, next one up. This is the other one. I thought of two more. One of these is not really very real, but Take Me Out to the Ball Game, great song, right? We all sing it, we know it, we love the words. Why do we only sing it when we're already at the ball game, when it's the only time it doesn't make sense to be sung, because you're already there, you don't need to have it sung.
So are these just all like ineffable questions? No, like,
well, no, the last, I mean, yes, because the last one is, who decided that you need a mound? Like, who made that call? Why does the pitcher get to be higher above the world than everybody else? That seems not fair.
Wasn't it, like, too easy to hit the ball when they were at the same level?
Well, but that there already was a mound, and they were, like, raising and lowering it, right?
Well, at some point, they must have raised it.
Well, yeah, but, like, who made that call?
I bet there's actual, there's probably an answer there somewhere.
Like, I bet there was, like, a field on a hill or something.
My ignorance on all of this, which is fine. But, like, it's, like, why, who made the... I know. It's too easy for people to hit. Let's put the pitcher on a platform made of dirt. That will help. Or, you know what? Maybe this pitcher needs a little bit of an ego boost, so we'll elevate him above everybody because people think he's taller. I don't know. These are all plausible explanations for the mound, and I would like to know why it exists. Okay. Let's move on before I further betray my own ignorance about baseball. This is another one that I did not prep you guys on, so.
All right, let's do it.
Get amped. But this is right in your wheelhouse, Gemma.
Is it?
It is. Jason Grilley.
Ah.
It was National Grilled Cheese Day, and no one is more excited about that holiday than Jason Grilley.
He tweets about grilled cheese all the time.
All the time. Anyway. It's his Twitter handle, is Grilley Cheese something 24 or whatever it is. And so he loves grilled cheese. I want the two of you to tell me how you make your perfect grilled cheese sandwich.
Great.
Gemma, how do you make
your
perfect grilled cheese?
So you want to have a decent bread, first of all.
Okay.
No grain or wheat breads. None of that.
So you want like a white bread?
It needs to be like a country-style bread or sourdough. Those are acceptable. But if there's too much stuff in the bread, bad texture. It doesn't work. Okay. So then you're going to get two different kinds of cheese. Ideally three, but like, let's be reasonable. Two.
Okay.
Cheddar.
Very reasonable.
Cheddar and fontina.
Okay.
Okay. You cut those into slices. You have to butter both sides of the bread. You put it on the grill pan. And then you put a little honey on the back of one of the slices.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Of bread. Then you put the cheese. It goes layer of cheese, layer of tomato, layer of cheese, basil, layer of cheese, next bread. Close the sandwich.
Wow.
It's delicious. It's a delicious grilled cheese sandwich.
We just got schooled on grilled cheese.
I learned a lot.
You should all go home and try it.
All right. What do you call that?
A grilled cheese sandwich? I just have a special name.
Not like grilled cheese a la Gemma.
That's what it's called now.
Okay, great. Ian, how do you make your grilled cheese?
Okay, here's what you do.
All right.
You open up your computer. www.seamless.com. You select the diner that like isn't grimy enough to have a bad health rating.
This is very New York elitist.
Seamless isn't even a thing in so many other parts of the country.
You are a Northeast.
You open
elite.
Your phone book and find the diner that probably isn't grimy to the point of being like dangerous, but definitely isn't like the new one that just opened.
Okay.
You select the option for rye bread.
Okay, you want rye?
I do like, I like all sandwiches.
You like a rye?
Bread.
Okay.
I but not for grilled cheeses.
And I think cheddar is a cheese that I approve of in grilled cheese, depending on how I'm feeling. There could be bacon involved. There could be tomatoes involved.
Okay.
And then you click order.
Nice.
And then it arrives magically at your apartment.
But then...
Removing the Northeast elitist filter
also,
from this.
Also, if you want to go for the deluxe option with fries.
So Ian wants rye... cheddar cheese, bacon, tomato, potentially, and then fries.
My issue with yours is that if you order it, like, grilled cheese has to be something that you eat kind of quickly after you make it. Otherwise, you know, the cheese can get all congealed and hard, and that's terrible.
Well, again, New York elitism. They get there pretty quick. I will say that I'm glad we had this discussion because I do try to make grilled cheese every once in a while, like, not that often. And I will butter both sides of the bread, but I can just never get it to taste like a real, you know, diner-style grilled cheese.
Okay, here's the secret, though. There usually is not honey on diner grilled cheeses, but what you do is, I don't know what kind of pan you cook in, but put a lid over the sandwich, like, a couple minutes. You know how, like, when you want to melt cheese on top of a burger patty, and you cover the burger patty with a lid?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're learning this technique. That's like short order. That's like a short order trick is to put a lid over it so the cheese melts and then,
okay.
then you evenly on the inside.
Well, for a pan, I use that pan that I own.
That's a good use.
The one pan. Guys, Ian is moving to a new place, so I encourage you all to send him some kind of moving gift.
I approve of this.
Cooking supplies. More than one pan. Some lids.
I will register at Bed Bath & Beyond. You guys can all send me housewarming gifts.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that's good. All right, well, let's move on.
Wait, no, no, no. How do you make a grilled cheese?
Oh, I don't care for grilled cheese. I don't like grilled cheese.
You don't like grilled cheese?
What is wrong with you?
I don't like it. Like Jason Grilley.
The hottest cake of Cupcake.
Who doesn't like grilled cheese?
Here's an idea. Let me make a sandwich without anything on it. That's a good idea.
Gemma's grilled cheese has six things on it.
Okay, but that's not like a real grilled cheese. That's like an elitist grilled cheese.
Does have fontina.
Look, I grew up in Waffle House country, okay? So I understand that some people don't have access to seamless. Some people can't put basil or whatever on their grilled cheese.
Oh, basil
sandwich.
Is so obscure and hard to figure out.
Yeah. Okay, but no, I don't like grilled cheese. All right, let's move
on.
That's
a nightmare.
Now.
You're a nightmare.
You're a nightmare. So David Ortiz retired.
Come back.
Thank you. David Ortiz is retiring at the end of this season. I obviously am very distraught. And for his final opening day at Fenway Park, the Red Sox put on a show. Yes, they lost the game, but more importantly, they made sure that everyone was there. Pedro Martinez was there. Jason Varitek was there. Tim Wakefield was there. And then, very importantly, Boston sports legends like Bill Russell were there. Bobby Orr and Ty Law. Apparently, they couldn't get Tom Brady. That's fine. Tom Brady was off on some tropical island with Giselle. Whatever. But it got us wondering.
It should have lured him there with avocado ice cream.
Ew.
And Uggs. Chia seeds. All the Uggs
scattered
you can
just like
wear.
A trail of Uggs and chia seeds.
It got us thinking, it's your retirement ceremony, and you can invite three sports figures who you know will be there. So even if you said Tom Brady, he'll be there. He won't go to David Ortiz's final opening day, but he'll be at your retirement. Who would you want to be there and why, Ian?
Well, I would like to think that I'm retired at the end of a long and storied career as a highly classy and respected member of the game who accomplished much both on the field and in the community. And I'd like all the players who I grew up watching from all sports, just like David Ortiz grew up idolizing Bobby Orr.
Yes, he did.
I'd like them all to attend. So first on my list is Mariano Rivera.
Ice lacrosse. That's
yes, ice yeah. lacrosse.
Sorry, interrupt.
Mariano Rivera would be first on my list. He okay. fits that bill. Growing up in the New York area, he was the player that I enjoyed watching the most, I think, and certainly like brings an air of respect to the proceedings. Definitely an important event when Mariano is in the house.
That's true.
By that same token, another player from my youth who kind of fits the same description, Martin Brodeur, longtime goalie for the New Jersey Devils.
All right.
I don't think that I attended. I went to a lot of baseball games growing up, but I also went to like a ton of New Jersey Devils games, probably because like it wasn't the hardest ticket to get, and everyone had their like 8th through 13th birthday at the various iterations of the Brendan Burns / Continental Airlines / Izod Center Arena.
Shout out to Izod Center.
So I'd like Martin Brodeur to be there. I saw him play a lot, and I think that, again, it would add some gravitas to the situation. Another athlete from another sport, just someone who brought me a lot of joy watching him play, who I would appreciate showing his appreciation for me in my career, would be Denard Robinson, former University of Michigan quarterback, played when I was there, was on a lot of teams that weren't so good, and kind of elevated them with his abilities on the field.
Just like you with Cut 4.
Just like me. Oh, is this my retirement from Cut 4?
Was that like a...
I thought this was my retirement from Major League Baseball.
That was like a self-burn to all of us except for Ian.
I know,
weird.
It was a joke.
We'll take it. I didn't realize I was retiring from blogging. This is totally different. I thought I was retiring from Major League Baseball.
Who are your blogging heroes, Ian? Tell us that.
We're not going to get into that. It's for a separate podcast.
It's for a separate blog media-centric podcast, which we'll launch on this channel.
It would be just PFT commenter memorializing my blogging career.
Okay, so Denard Robinson?
Yeah, those are my three.
Good. All right. Well, those were those are three good ones. Gemma, what do you got? Who are your three?
Okay, so I was trying to also think about what career I'm retiring from. You know, because if it's my career in Major League Baseball, I'm kind of young, I assume, like, relatively.
Okay.
You know, so because I was trying to think of people who would still be around when I retire in my early 40s from Major League Baseball, yes. Right? Instead, like, if I retire from my life career, I'll be, like, 79 years old. So I needed to think about that.
Right.
So I guess we're saying baseball? It's just baseball?
Whatever. It's up
young,
to you.
Young 40s
It's your interpretation
time.
Of the question.
Great. Okay.
Whatever you want.
Well, I'm sure no one will be surprised to say I would like Ichiro to be at my retirement. Very important player.
Is he wearing the Gemma Kaneko birthday jersey?
He is. Yes, he's also wearing the t-shirt that he made of us. Right, we talked about him making custom t-shirts. Me, Ichiro, and Justin Trudeau hanging out at a ball game. That is the t-shirt. So everyone will be wearing that because that will be one of my notable moments from my career, obviously.
Obviously.
It'll be the promotional item that they give away at the gates. So I'd like him to be there. I was also a big hockey fan growing up. Hockey was a sport that I loved first when I was a kid. So obviously, as a Michigander, Steve Yzerman will be there.
Sure.
Yes, hanging out.
It's not pronounced Yzerman.
Get out.
Okay.
Over. Terrible.
Fair enough.
And then one of my sports heroes as a child, my final sports hero, Michelle Kwan.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Love Michelle.
Shout out
Kwan.
To Michelle Kwan.
I know. She's a diplomat.
Of course.
Just diplomat?
Yes. It's an unpaid position, but she worked with Joe Biden to, like, go to different countries. And,
really? An unpaid position? She's an intern then.
Yeah. She's been an unpaid intern for the State Department. For 8 years.
They didn't pay her for that?
No. She just goes and, like, represents how great sports are to youths in different countries.
Sports are pretty great.
Yeah, for youths.
Michelle Kwan is the perfect
Michelle
person.
Michelle Kwan is great, and she will be at my retirement, and
Where
it'll
can
be awesome.
Watch Joe Biden and Michelle Kwan
interact.
Give this presentation.
Yeah, aren't they coming here? We like sports.
Yeah.
We have to register our. We have to just register our company in a different nation, and then they'll come and hang out.
So I decided to go with exclusively baseball people. Also, I would like to say this: that in my picturing the retirement, it was definitely. I was still writing for Cut 4, and this event was happening in our office, so that is how I pictured it, but I now realize that maybe is not the most aspirational thing, but whatever.
We have on-field ceremonies.
That could happen. Nobody will show up, but...
You guys are picturing your storied Hall of Fame baseball career, and I'm picturing myself toiling away in a windowless room at 65 years old. Okay. So
the room has windows. They don't go to the outside.
Yeah,
there are windows.
window apologist. Okay, so the first person I thought of is the first person I always think of, Pedro Martinez. Just when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think of is, Pedro Martinez is a person who exists. So of course I put him down first here. And he was at David Ortiz's retirement, it wasn't full retirement, but final opening day ceremony. So it fits. I like to think of myself as being the David Ortiz of blogging. So it makes sense that we would share a similarity there. Also, number two, it would make sense that David Ortiz would be there to see the blogging version of himself retire. I think he would appreciate that. He would give me a big hug, and he would say thank you for all the work that you've done. And I would say thank you so much, David. And then the final person I thought of, again, all of these are baseball people, is former minor league outfielder Michael Jordan, who had a very brief career in the Chicago White Sox organization. He hit, I think, 2 home runs, but obviously a very storied baseball player. And really, I don't know what else people think. Oh, he's also the guy who cries on the internet. So that's the other thing you may know him from. But he would definitely be there. He'd be crying tears of joy on honoring me and my great legacy to the writing of internet.
What is more
words.
Of a stretch that Ian and I both imagined that we would have amazing, massive, famous home run MLB careers, or that you would get Pedro, David Ortiz, and Michael Jordan to come to our office and cry about you?
Technically, only MJ would be crying. I would probably cry too. Just like I would see him.
See, I feel that I could actually get Michelle Kwan to hang out with me. That seems like
really
over the next 40 years. I'd have to do something like important, but like, by, you know,
you think that's more realistic?
I think there's a slightly higher chance than of me just singularly hanging out with Michelle Kwan for like 5 minutes.
You just have to be an international youth undereducated in the world of sports.
Yes, there you go. Compared
I could totally hang out with Pedro Martinez.
Showing up in our office.
I could totally hang out with Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz. Maybe not Michael Jordan. But I could make those first two happen at some point.
I feel like Ian's is probably the most realistic. I think you could get all those guys together.
I don't know if Ian's classy enough for Mariano Rivera to hang out with him.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Well, as long as I launch a cologne line, it's available.
Great. Okay.
All right, which, well, I am doing.
Is that part of your retirement? You're moving into cologne.
Yes.
Just like Derek Jeter had interesting content, you have an interesting cologne. Fragrances. All right. This has completely gone off the rails. So I think we need to conclude by summing up the podcast into 140 characters. Who wants to go first?
What did we even talk about?
We talked about everything and nothing at the same time.
Great. Okay.
I'll go first.
Oh, were you not going to remind us what we actually talked about?
No, we talked
a little bit about holidays, which holidays we want to see brought into special uniforms in MLB. We talked about what baseball mysteries we'd like to have solved, a little bit of a diversion into grilled cheese, and we brought it home with sports people who we want as our retirement. So I will begin with this. Hey, comma, Michael Jordan. Do you know why baseball players wear hats? P.S. Don't bring the grilled cheese.
That is so okay.
Hashtag cut forecast.
And interesting.
Well, Gemma, if you're going to judge it, why don't you go next?
I will. How's that sound? Judge Judy? That's a great nickname for me.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to say that I'm picturing that tweet as a letter you would write to Michael Jordan, but you would just cut out all the letters from a magazine.
Great, thank you very much.
Dakota didn't add a stupid crying Jordan meme to his tweet is enough of a victory for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're going to crying Jordan me when because of how terrible my tweet was. Gemma, what do you got?
No. What's your tweet? My tweet is, flash forward, celebrate my retirement with fancy grilled cheese, Ichiro, and Michelle Kwan. Hashtag cut forecast.
That's a good tweet.
Yes.
Ian, that's my tweet. Give us your tweet.
Okay. Hashtag blessed that Mariano Rivera arrived to teach me how to make a grilled cheese at my retirement ceremony.
That's great.
That's really good.
That's really
good.
Because
now I'm wondering what Mariano Rivera's grilled cheese recipe is.
Yes.
See?
I think that's my favorite of the tweets.
If you have a better tweet.
Retweet.
If you have a better tweet that more accurately sums up this podcast, please tweet it at us at cutfor with hashtag cutforecast. Also, tweet us your grilled cheese recipes because now we need to know how to make the best for grilled cheese. I won't because grilled cheese are bad. But these two may make them. Gemma,
I will try all of them. I will make all of your grilled cheese recipes.
At cut4 with hashtag cutforecast. You can also follow us on Twitter there. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. You can read all of the content that we write at mlb.com/cut4. Tons of stuff there, stuff related to all of these topics that we've talked about today and more. mlb.com/cut4. Hey, this is a podcast. Podcasts are hosted on iTunes primarily, I feel like. And while you're there, you can write a review of this podcast. And you give it 1 to 5 stars. And if you actually take the time to write out the review, we will read it on the Cut 4 cast. And while you're there, you can subscribe. You can click the little button that says, give me the link. And then you can send that link to all of your friends and tell them to listen to this horrible podcast. And they'll be like, why did you send that to me? And you'll be like, because I hate you. And that's how that conversation will go.
Selling it really well.
I know. Thanks. Ian, thank you for being here.
Of course.
Gemma, thank you for putting up with me as you always
do. Thank you for putting up with me. I feel like I was especially salty.
And no, it's okay. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.